If you run a business, large or small, get ready to take a lot of notes. Because it's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. It's throughout the New York, New Jersey area. In fact, on a Sunday night, you could pick up the station as far south as Baltimore or maybe even below, and as north as Boston and as west as Pittsburgh. Well, and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. This show is about real ideas, real people, real success stories on 77 WABC. It's all about sharing business and marketing strategies to be successful and get ahead in today's business world. Each week we feature a high-profile guest and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Today, tonight, is no different. We have with us in studio Norm Trainer, the president and CEO of the Covenant Group. More about Norm in a moment. First, we want to just address what some people have been wondering, the mystery announcement. And the mystery announcement is that I am holding in my hands an advanced copy of my new book that is due out actually in the beginning of December. So what's the bottom line? 76 proven marketing tips and techniques for building your business and personal brand. It's a work that I worked on probably for 6 years. Very, very exciting. More on that a little bit later in the program. But with a guest like Norm Trainer, I want to get directly to the interview. Let me give you just a little background about our guest. Now, of course, you could follow me on Twitter, like me on Facebook, and you could always get more information about our upcoming guests on LinkedIn and all the various social media tools. And because Norm honored us with being here in studio, we will have a video of the highlights of this show in approximately a week or two. Also, in case there's someone who is tuning in later in the show, or someone you want to let know about this, of course, let them know right now to tune in to 77 WABC. Or you can always go to the iTunes store, the iTunes channel, you type in Mind Your Business. Actually, the easiest way is go to our website, WABCBizRadio.com. And on there is a link to podcasts. And the podcast of tonight's show with Norm Trainer will be up there in a few days. Well, we have with us in studio Norm Trainer. Some background about our very distinguished guest. Mr. Trainer is the president and CEO of the Covenant Group, a company that educates and coaches entrepreneurs, providing them with business tools to enhance their performance and achieve new levels of profit and productivity. Norm has worked with some of the world's largest institutions. In fact, his client networks spread across North America, Europe, and actually around the world. Norm is an international speaker, author of best-selling books, two that I'd like to point out, The 8 Best Practices of High-Performing Salespeople, who doesn't want to read that, and The Entrepreneurial Journey, and has written articles for various leading publications in North America and internationally. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Norm Trainer. Norm, how are you?
Very well. Thanks, Yitzhak, for having me on the show. Congratulations on your book. That's
Thank
wonderful.
You. Thank
Exciting.
You.
I can't wait to read it.
You know, to hear, thank you. And from someone like yourself who knows what goes into it, how many books have you put out now?
Just finishing up my 7th book, so I know
just
how much
finishing
work it goes
your seventh.
Into it.
Wow. So 6th already, your 7th, when is it due out?
It's due out probably in around the same time, December, early
wow.
January.
And what is it
but
on?
I'll send you a copy.
Thank you.
It's called The Entrepreneur's Playbook. It's
wow.
about how to build a business.
Well, you know what? If you listen to the show tonight, you'll probably hear some of those secrets, but certainly when it comes out, it'll be available all over?
It will be, yes, absolutely.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, Norm, let's jump right into the interview. You lead a very successful business coaching company. What was the impetus that led you to begin educating and coaching entrepreneurs?
Henry Noun, a noted psychiatrist, coined the term the wounded healer. Noun's thesis is that we are all wounded healers who choose our career in order to heal ourselves. At its best, our work makes us whole. I'm a wounded healer. I was born in Northern Ireland. My grandfather, who had a significant influence on my life, was an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. He was a builder. As a little boy, he would take me around to construction sites where I would drink hot tea with lots of milk and sugar and deal with the men. He had 65 men working for him at any one time. When I was 6 years of age, it was a major recession in Ireland. My grandfather kept building. He did not want to let any of his men go. He got overextended and he had to liquidate his business. He was a very proud man and decided to immigrate. He came to Canada. 7 months later, we too immigrated. When we came to Canada, my grandfather was a changed man. He defined the failure of his business as a failure of self. He was so self-identified with his business. And for the rest of his life, 34 years, I believe he suffered from anaclitic depression. Mm. Anaclesis is the breaking of a connection. The failure of his business was a connection that he could not overcome. I am passionate about helping entrepreneurs, executive salespeople achieve and sustain peak performance as they define it.
Mm. So, again, your background, so you were born in Ireland and left when you were roughly seven?
Seven, that's right.
Seven. Hmm. Fascinating. So let's jump into kind of how a company evolves, right? On day one, a company should draft a business plan. How does one go about crafting it? Let's say someone has no idea. Someone's listening in the audience. We have many entrepreneurs, small business owners, and we'll get to if someone left before they looked. We'll get to that soon. But let's say someone is about to start. They want to craft a business plan. What advice would you give for crafting a great business plan?
The business plan is the clear articulation of the entrepreneur or the executive's vision and strategy. Vision answers the question, where are we going? Mm-hmm. It is the entrepreneur's expression of what they want to achieve over the next 1, 3, 5, 10 years or more. Mm-hmm. We define strategy as the alignment of three elements. What are the outputs or objectives you want to achieve? What are the capabilities and resources you have to realize them? And what are the opportunities and challenges the environment provides? Your business plan is your written expression of what your vision is and the articulation of your strategy.
The way Norm put it so succinctly, I mean, this is going to be naturally a tweet. I mean, that's a golden tweet right there. And so, again, if you're not following me presently on Twitter, it probably pays Y Saftless Twitter, because during each show, and especially with a show with where we're going to have such great gems, business gems from Norm Trainer, I'll be tweeting this and of course, posting it on LinkedIn. Let's get to the next question, which is, as many entrepreneurs and business owners, they leap before they look.
Yes.
Okay. And let's say they're 3 years, 5 years into the business, and they don't have a business plan. Should they take the time out to chart it or just say, heck with it, I'm just flying, I'm sailing anyway?
Absolutely. In fact, Yitzhak, we would say that the majority of entrepreneurs start without a business plan. In the early stages of a business, in the formative phase, what we're really looking to do is find a success pattern that will work. As you know, 9 out of 10 businesses fail in the first 5 to 10 years. And one of the reasons why they fail is they don't have a clear delineation of what they want to achieve. Your business plan is your roadmap for what it is you want to build. And without a roadmap, if you don't know where you're going, it's very hard to get there. So what we find is most entrepreneurs with whom we start working don't have a business plan or don't have a well-thought-out business plan. It doesn't matter how far into your career you are or your business. It's worthwhile to take the time to develop a business plan. And most entrepreneurs, for whatever reasons, they leap, just as you described, and then later build a plan. Yeah. Can I just add one other thing, though? I think what's important is that we often think about having a business plan. It's really not about having a business plan. It's about having a planning process. A business plan is a snapshot of a moving picture, and we live in a dynamic and ever-evolving universe. So it's really about planning. Most entrepreneurs do plan, most executives plan, but many of them, their time planning is windshield time or waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about their business. When you have to put it down on paper and really think it through, now you have to really express what it is that you're trying to achieve, and you have to get other people involved. And that's the power of a plan and a planning process.
Stated so well. How can now? And if it's okay, I'm not putting you on, you know, on the spot, but to a certain degree, I guess I am, because you explain it so well. But I want to make sure that people in the audience can understand it. How can a business define its vision?
Great question. Your vision answers three questions. The first and foremost for the business owner, the executive, what role do you want to play? The second is, how big do you want to become? All of us want to push as big a rock as we're capable of moving. And the third is, what is the requisite organization? Requisite defined as that which is required by the natural order of things. One of the realities of entrepreneurship is that there are many entrepreneurs throughout the U.S. and the world. Mm-hmm. Some of them are a business of one. Others are a business of many. It depends on how big a rock you want to push. So it's deciding, what does your business look like? Some entrepreneurs are income producers. They want the business to be an expression of their talent, their unique ability. Mm-hmm. And the business is really the capability of expressing themselves. And so everything within the business is designed to express their talent. Others want to build a business that is greater than the sum of their time, their energy, their creativity, and their intelligence. They're building a business over time, one that they may sell or they may transition to another generation. There's no right or wrong. It has to be whatever your personal expression is.
Fascinating. Are there any, you've worked with so many entrepreneurs over your career, are there any specific qualities that you could spot right away, say, this guy's going to make it?
There are two dimensions of entrepreneurship, the dynamics of entrepreneurship and the mechanics. The mechanics deal with the how-to. So your business plan describes how you're going to build your business. Dynamics, the dictionary tells us, means motive forces, forces of change. There are two dynamics at play. One is internal, what drives you, and the other is external, in the environment. What we find in terms of the characteristics of successful entrepreneurs is that they have three R's, or three qualities. And actually, my colleague, Dr. Alden Kass, who's based here in New York and is a clinical psychologist, describes this very well, and he too is a well-known author. The first is recognition. Successful entrepreneurs are self-aware. They have self-insight, self-awareness. The second is resilience. They are able to overcome adversity. The reality of entrepreneurship is you're going to fail a lot, and you have to be able to deal with it. And the third is routines. Successful businesses are built on replicable processes. Successful entrepreneurs, successful executives, successful salespeople establish routines daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually that enable them to be successful. It's all about focus and discipline.
So could you please repeat those three R's that was put so well?
Recognition, mm-hmm. self-awareness, self-insight, resilience, mm-hmm. the ability to overcome adversity and realize that failure doesn't define you. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity to learn and to grow. And routines. Put in place processes and stay with them.
How at the Covenant Group, how do you educate and coach business owners to maintain peak performance?
There are three elements you have to align to achieve peak performance. The first is intention. The dictionary definition of intention tells us it comes from the same root as aim, desire, plan. It includes an indication of what a person plans to do. Everything we do as human beings is intentional. The first thing we do is help entrepreneurs clarify, what is your intention? What do you want to do with your business? And what do you want to do with your life? The second is process. Process we define as a pattern or methodology that is distinguishable, repeatable, and transferable. How do you distinguish yourself in the marketplace? How do you put in place systems and processes that make everything you do repeatable? And how do you transfer it to others? You are a superb marketer.
Oh,
and you know
you.
that in marketing, you have to do three things. You have to establish your relevance. What impact will you have on the people whom you serve? You have to establish your differentiation, what mm-hmm. makes you unique. Mm-hmm. And you have to demonstrate sustainability. You're there for the long term. The third element is measurement. We measure activity ratios and financial ratios, and we tie them back. When we work with entrepreneurs mm-hmm. or executives, we build out 1 and 5 year income and expense pro formas. We look at 5 financial levers. What is your product and service mix? What is your average sale? What are the number of sales you're going to make? What's the seasonality of your business, the variance month over month in a calendar year? What's the cyclicality? Are you impacted by market highs and market lows, economic expansions or contractions? How do you align those 5 financial levers with your marketing, sales, and service to make those seamless and to control the growth trajectory of your business?
Hmm. Now, Norm, every company wants to deliver quality. But we all know in life, sometimes mistakes happen, as we had talked about before. How would you encourage a business to deal with a slip-up?
It's a great question. It really starts with your intention in your business. The most valuable asset a business has appears nowhere on its balance sheet or income statement. It is customer capital or client capital. And client capital is a sum of 3 elements. It's the depth of relationship you have with your clients or your customers. If you're running a restaurant, it's the number of times they come back to have breakfast, lunch, or dinner. If you're running a services business or selling products, it's the number of products or services they buy from you. The second is the breadth of relationship. It's the degree to which you make yourself referable. People recommend you because they believe in you. And the third is the degree of engagement. We often use satisfaction as a measure of loyalty. Satisfaction is actually not a key measure of loyalty. It's important. But you and I could go to a restaurant, have a great experience, we feel good, we go back a week later, we have a lousy experience, we feel bad, we might not go back. The key is engagement. How do you engage your customers, your clients? When you engage them, they will forgive the slip-ups. Can't slip up all the time.
Right.
But
right.
They'll forgive them because they have an investment in you. When you do make a mistake, it's important to own it and then deal with it. It's not about surprise, panic, and blame. It's not about right or wrong. It's about making it right for your customer or client. You're playing the long game. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just say, sorry, what can I do? And you make it right for the customer. And you have to recognize that sometimes you do what's honorable, not what's expedient. You might take a loss in this situation, but you're playing a long game. You're building client capital or customer capital.
Hmm. Now, Mr. Trainer, I don't know if you're an official psychologist, perhaps you are, but you certainly understand people very well. I've heard you say, quote, "We often make quick decisions and then find evidence to support those biases." It's a fascinating concept. Can you elaborate on this?
As human beings, we are judgmental by nature. We meet someone and we form an impression within the first 30 to 90 seconds. That impression is informed by the person's mannerisms or demeanor, the tone of their voice, the content of what they say. Lincoln once said, "I do not like that man. I must get to know him." And Emerson said, "Our friends are people who like us even after they get to know us." One of the challenges is that we have to learn to withhold judgment. All of us are style bound. We each have a way of relating to the world. Mm-hmm. You may be outgoing and expressive. I might be more reserved. I might find your expressiveness a little bit hard to take. We need to learn to withhold judgment. However, on the other side, we also need to recognize that people are judgmental. We need to manage the impression that we make on other people. In sales, there are 2 principles. Mm-hmm. Principle number 1 is focus on the other person. Make them the center of the experience. You know, Yitzhak, I'm on a lot of planes. I fly 80 to 100 times a year. When I get on a plane, I'll get on a plane tonight after our meeting. The last thing I want to do is engage in a conversation because I've been busy all day. But I will always engage the person beside me. I'll greet them. If they engage, I'll engage. If they don't, I'll get back to reading and relaxing. And generally speaking, if I engage, I will ask them a lot of questions. And often they'll turn to me and they'll say, Norm, what do you do? And if I don't know what they do, I'll say, I'll be glad to answer that question, but Yitzhak, let me ask you this. What do you do? I've never had anyone say, I asked you first. Why? Because people are most comfortable talking about themselves. So rule number one is engage the other person. Make them the center of the experience. Rule number two is you earn the right to proceed. You advance the sale by building trust or confidence throughout. The way we manage that initial interaction is really important. People often ask me what differentiates high-performing salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
And we've studied that for many, many years. When you ask a high-performing salesperson what makes them successful, they will readily tell you. When you observe what makes them successful, it's usually not what they tell you.
Wow.
The single most important difference between high-performing salespeople and average performers is the time frame or the time span within which they think and work. In other words, high-performing salespeople plan their work and work their plan very differently than average performers. They manage the before, the during, and the after. So if we know that people are judgmental by nature, the more we know about them before we meet them, the more we can tailor our communication to create a favorable judgment. The more we ask questions that draw them out, the more we make them the center of the experience. The more we tell stories that are meaningful to them, we create an emotional connection. And the more, rather than sitting across the desk from them, we sit beside them and we create something together, the more involved they will feel.
You know, it's a number. We've had such a depth of talent over the past few months with the many guests we've had. One of them was Mark Bodner. He runs a major company, L&R Distributors, a team of 1,000 people. And he talked about this point. He said, when I engage in a conversation, I want to be... He actually put it on the air. He said as follows. He says, are you interested or interesting?
Yeah.
It's a great way he put it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Are you interested?
Yeah.
Or just you're trying to be interesting and then there's no engagement.
Exactly.
It's all about one side and there's no back and forth.
Yeah. It's trying to impress rather than express. It's not making
another
person
impress
the center of the experience.
We're going to take a short commercial break. First, I wanted to give a shout-out to Simeon Friedman, who got me in touch with Norm. Simeon, thank you very much, because this is a great treat. If someone wants to get in touch with you, your organization, how could they do that?
I'd be glad to tell you that, but I'd also like to mention Simeon, because he is an amazingly talented young man, and I've really enjoyed working with him. They're running a great accounting firm in Brooklyn, as you know.
Right, Sol Friedman and Company.
And actually, I met him through the way in which we often get connected, an introduction by David Simkowitz. So the thread is often very important. But the easiest way for people to get in touch with us is we have a North America-wide toll-free number. Mm-hmm. It's 1-877-903-3878. 1-877-903-3878, and then either extension 313 or 314. Or they can reach us or reach me at Norm at Covenant Group, COVENANT, group, GROUP.com, or TCG@covenantgroup.com.
Amazing. You're tuned to 77 WABC. Back in a moment.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back with the Mind Your Business program here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Again, more on the mystery announcement a little later on in the program. Well, it's not a mystery at this point if you tuned in at the beginning of the show. We will talk about my new book that is going to be released in early December called What's the Bottom Line, published by Morgan James Publishing. It will be available in Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and in bookstores around the globe. Well, we are here with Norm Traynor, President and CEO of the Covenant Group, and we're just tapping into his wealth of wisdom, and we're asking him all types of questions that really any business owner, executive, anyone who's looking to get ahead in the business world can appreciate. If you're just tuning in now, the iTunes store will have this interview in its entirety within 2-3 days, and you'll be able to hear the entire interview. Well, Norm, here's the next question. When a business is failing, is there a way for the owner to know when to abort and when to stick it out?
The key metrics in a business are typically financial, and it's really important to pay attention to the financial heartbeat of a business. And the indicators are often falling revenue, margin erosion, lack of profitability. Entrepreneurs, business owners, are often so invested in their business that they will basically sacrifice everything. One of my clients is a very successful financial advisor. When he was 10 years of age, his father's business failed, and his father had invested everything in the business, mortgaged his home, everything. The failure of that business was devastating for the family. Within a year, his mother and father separated. He moved from a comfortable lifestyle to living in a one-bedroom apartment with his mother and his younger brother. Entrepreneurs need to be cognizant of the fact that the business has a heartbeat. It has vital signs, and they have to watch those vital signs very carefully. And they have to often realize that the failure of the business is not a failure of self, and that they cannot mortgage everything to keep the business going. Entrepreneurs, by nature, are optimists. Right. You have to temper your optimism with a strong element of realism. And that's often a challenge for entrepreneurs.
So if I may, just to hold on to this question a drop, if the vital signs are not looking good, are there still other ways that someone could give a look and say, well, the next season is going to be a game changer in this industry, the next year, is it all about the present vital signs, or you look down the path, down the road into the future as well?
No, you definitely have to look down the future. What you have to be constantly aware of, though, is the viability of the business. And it's if you don't have the capital to do it, it's financeability. One of the most important words in business is momentum. And if we recall from our physics class in high school, momentum equals mass times velocity. Mass is comprised of the people in your business, the technology, and the capital. So you have to be aware of it is the sum of your mass, your people, your technology, your capital, competitive in the environment. And velocity is the rate at which your business is growing. Does your business have momentum, or is it actually failing? You just have to be continuously attuned to that and look at it realistically.
Now, this is another question that comes up for every business, is the idea of a succession plan. At what point should a business start thinking about that?
Ideally, the day you start your business.
That early?
Yes. The reality is most business owners, most entrepreneurs start thinking about succession 3 to 5 years before they're ready to sell their business. Mm-hmm. And they leave a lot of money on the table by waiting too long. You need to be thinking about succession as soon as it appears on your radar screen. A little bit like your early question about business plan.
Right.
Most entrepreneurs don't think about succession. Right. They're too busy making sure the business is successful. It's never too early to think about succession. The other thing I wanted to mention is that when we work with entrepreneurs, we ask them 3 questions at the beginning. Are you an income producer or a business builder? It's really important to know.
And I'm sorry, could you explain the difference?
Yeah, so an income producer is focused on replacing income earned working for someone else with income earned through their own efforts. They are the business, maybe an independent contractor. We're seeing a huge growth in income producers today because companies are downsizing. People are doing contract work versus employment.
Right.
That's an income producer. Okay. You want to assure the continuity of your income. A business builder is looking to create a stream of income separate from himself or herself. That's the first decision you have to make, income producer, business builder. The second decision you have to make is your focus going to be narrow? You're going to focus in a key sector and become really deep in that sector? Or is it going to be broad? A restaurant, for example, could choose to be highly specialized, only serve at dinner.
Right.
Or you could choose to have a very large menu. There's many different forms that will take. And then the third question you have to answer, are you building an economic enterprise or a living company? If you're building an economic enterprise, you're going to sell it or you're going to walk away from it. So how do you determine when you're going to sell it and what the value is? If you're building a living company, you want it to transcend your lifetime. You may want to pass it on to your children, to employees, or to someone else, or some other organization will carry it on. That's where a succession plan becomes really critical.
Now I want to move to the idea about an advisory board. This has come up. Certainly nonprofits usually have one. I'd like to split this question into two, and that is, what is the role of an advisory board? And separately, how does a company go about building an advisory board?
An advisory board is extremely important, particularly for a privately held business. We all need perspective on our perspective. And if we only have one perspective as an entrepreneur, we may be missing things. Your advisory board really gives you feedback and additional insight into your business. You want it to be comprised of people who have a vested interest in your success. You may have some customers, you may have some suppliers, you may have some professionals, your CPA, your attorney, can take a number of forms, probably between 6 and 12 people on the advisory board. You meet 2 or 3 times a year. They're not a formal board in the sense that you report to them. They are there to give you their best advice, counsel.
They all meet at the same time?
They all meet at the same time, and you will meet with each of them individually and seek their counsel. But 2 or 3 times a year, you'll meet, and ideally you present your business plan, and you get their feedback. And they become stakeholders in your success. They provide you with perspective on your perspective.
So very interesting. How is this done normally? Are they compensated? Are they?
Typically, the way you compensate them is with a really nice meal or dinner 2 or 3 times a year, and with a gift. One of the advisory boards that I helped set up, I facilitated their first advisory board meeting, and the entrepreneur gave everyone a gift certificate to a really nice spa. I happened to be able to go home and give it to my wife, and that made me a very popular guy.
Yeah.
I had a great dinner, and so it was a great trade-off.
Win-win, yeah. Wow. So now I just want to stick to the second part of the question. How does a company go about building one?
You look at the people you know that
I apologize because I know you touched on it, but I just want to...
People out there are thinking...
It
needs elaboration.
Yeah.
So you think about... Who are the people you know whom you really respect? and who have a stake in your success. They can be friends who are very successful. They can be advisors who with whom you have confidence and who really know your business, your CPA, your attorney. They can be customers or suppliers, but people who you're very close to and with whom you're willing to be transparent in terms of how your business is operating at, because you really want their best advice. And as I said, ideally you have 6 to 12. I just got an email today as I was coming over here in a taxi from one of my clients in Calgary in Canada who just set up his advisory board, and he was sending me the list. Mm-hmm. And he had the CEO of a major telecommunications company whom he's known since high school, who is one of the most successful business people in Canada. And he had a number of other people. He had a nicely represented advisory board.
Hmm. Now, how important is it to engage all the stakeholders in a company? How can a business do that? Again, this is related to the previous question.
One of the first questions you asked me was your vision.
Yes.
Your vision statement is the expression of what you want your business to become. Ideally, your vision statement speaks to all of the stakeholders who are a party to your success. So it starts with your clients or your customers. Mm-hmm. What's your vision of how you want to serve them? Your staff and associates. How do you want to engage them so that they're passionate about what you do in the same way you are and they have the same level of commitment? Shareholders. You may have other shareholders. Your family are shareholders. You're mm-hmm. a shareholder. Mm-hmm. How do you make sure you engage them? Your suppliers. Mm-hmm. How do you make sure that they, too, have an investment in your success? Your centers of influence, the people that will have the greatest impact on your business. And finally, the community. How do you build your brand in the community? Through philanthropy, through mm-hmm. being involved in community initiatives. Your vision speaks to all of those stakeholders. And that's how you get them engaged and ideally keep them engaged.
We're speaking with Norm Trainer, the president and CEO of the Covenant Group, right here on 77 WABC. In the few remaining minutes that we have, how do you define customer satisfaction, which we know is also referred to as retention? How does a company keep its customers engaged? Now, again, all these you've touched on earlier, but now I want to just specifically devote this question on customer retention and satisfaction. Oh, well, customer satisfaction, which leads to retention.
Yes. Customer satisfaction is a contributor to retention. And in many ways, it's not directly correlated because satisfaction is ephemeral. It comes and goes. In the investment business, for example, people are satisfied when the market goes up and dissatisfied when it goes down. I mentioned the restaurant experience. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who raised 5 children and a very successful business owner. And when he put his final child through college, he wanted to buy a very expensive car. And it was, and because he'd always dreamed of having one. He went into the dealership. He had his car ordered. It had to be shipped over. He picked the color, everything. He was really excited. It was going to take about 6 to 7 weeks for the car to come. He couldn't wait. About 4 weeks into it, he went into the dealership and he said, "How's it going?" And the salesperson punched it up. And they were, and he said, "It's in transit." And he happened to look over the salesperson's shoulder, and it wasn't the color that he had ordered. And he said, "That wasn't the color I ordered." And the salesperson said, "Yes, it was." And he said, "No, it wasn't. I've been waiting for this car. That wasn't the color I ordered." Got into an argument. Anyway, it turned out they had sent over the wrong color, and the particular design. So he had to wait another 6 to 7 weeks.
Right.
Now he's really dissatisfied at this point.
Right.
He's gone from being really excited about this dealership to dissatisfied. Car arrives. He's feeling really good. It arrives at this time of the year. And he notices this is a very expensive car. It's got beautiful interior, but it has no leather covers to make sure that the
upholstery
the floor doesn't get marked. So he goes in to the dealership, the service department. He said, "I need it." And the service man says, "Well, they're over there." And he goes over. He has to schlep them over, put them down. Now, he's probably told, if you're satisfied with an experience, you probably tell three people.
Right.
If you're dissatisfied, you tell 30.
Oh, is
so
that true? Oh.
He went from being very satisfied, very excited, to very dissatisfied. So you've got to always be cognizant of the ways in which you manage satisfaction. As I mentioned earlier, the more important measure is engagement. And you've always got to be taking the pulse of how engaged your customers or clients are. We have a simple 5-question client engagement survey. It starts with, we send it to you, or sit down and go through it with you. How satisfied are you with the quality of our service? And the reason we choose a 1 to 5 scale is it's very empirically sound. So 1 is poor, 2 is average, 3 is good, 4 is very good, 5 is exceptional. You want to get those exceptionals. The difference between a 4 very good and a 5 exceptional is statistically significant. If somebody gives you a 5, they're 4 times more likely to stay if you make a mistake. They're 4 times more likely to introduce, recommend, and refer you. They're your evangelists. So you want to get a 5. If you rate me a 4, one of the things I would ask you is, Yitzhak, what's it going to take for me to get a 5? The second question we ask is, what do you like best about the work we do, the service we provide? Because you want to know, because that's what you want to keep doing. In what ways could we improve? How satisfied are you with our service overall? And would you be willing to introduce, recommend, or refer, yes or no? Would you be willing to provide a personal endorsement? So 5 simple questions. You take the pulse. If anybody scores you less than, if they score you a 3 or less, you're in trouble. You've got to really work at it. Score you a 4, that you're
hope
at 85%. You've got to move them.
Wow. Now, in terms of client relationship, what should a business do to generate a consistent stream of quality prospects? I know this is more of a sales type of question.
It gets back to that measure of customer or client capital, the depth of relationship, the breadth of relationship, and the degree of engagement. One of the things that we need to be conscious of is that getting introductions, recommendations, and referrals is a process. You have to engage with people. Sun Tzu, the great Chinese general, said, "He who maintains the initiative usually wins. He who surrenders it inevitably loses." So one of the things we teach is that you have to put in place a system or a process to continuously obtain introductions, recommendations, and referrals, particularly from your best customers or best clients. One of the advisors whom I work with here in New York has brought in over $5 billion in assets in the last 13 years. He'll bring in about $600 million this year. He's a superb advisor. Bringing in $500 million is a great job.
Wow.
And he has a 15-month calendar. This is a concept we teach. He plans out for the next 15 months all the activities in which he'll engage to obtain introductions, recommendations, and referrals. Every month, he has a dinner either at the Gramercy Tavern or at Nomad. Now, those are great places. He'll invite 8 to 10 clients or centers of influence and ask each of them to bring a guest. He'll have 16 to 20 people. He also builds his thought leadership. I've spoken at 2 of his dinners. Other people have. So he's known for his thought leadership, and he also is interested in his clients. If he knows that you're a sports fan or you're interested in the theater, he'll arrange tickets for you. And then he'll ask you to introduce him to someone who is like you, not someone who's going to buy from him, because you may or may not know that, but someone who's like you, because he has a clear idea of what his ideal client looks like. Hmm. You have to have a system or process in place, and you have to work it assiduously.
Hmm. Let's move to social media. It has taken away so much from the human interaction and the eye and facial contact, etc. Is there hope for society?
Absolutely. In fact, I think it's rather than taking away, I think it's actually added to it.
Okay.
There is a law called Dunbar's Law, And Dunbar's law says that we can only have relationships with about 150 people. And Dunbar was an anthropologist who studied primitive societies. And in a community, in a village, you only had 150 to 200 people.
Right.
We now live in a global village.
Great analogy.
And you're a master of that.
Thank you.
You've got that Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter.
Right.
And what you've done is you've extended your network. You've extended it not only in your business, but also socially. So that's wonderful. As you know, and many people have spoken about this, sales has changed more in the last 10 years than it did in the prior 100.
Yeah.
And the internet has radically redefined the way in which it's occurred. Research tells us that 50 to 60% of sales occur before you ever meet face-to-face with a person. You have to manage your social media presence. Mm. It's critical.
One more question before the close. I saw this on your website. This is really a great defining conversation. You wrote, there's the idea about client interaction, me to me to you, you to you. Can you elaborate? That's so fascinating.
There are three conversations that go on in every human interaction, and this is particularly true in sales. Me to you, and you to you. We say salespeople stop selling when they get an objection with which they agree. So one of the first things you have to identify is what are the objections that salespeople agree with. If I think my price isn't right and you say your price is too high, I'm done. If I don't think I'm delivering value and you say I don't see the value, I'm done. So the first thing we have to deal with is a me-to-me sale. Entrepreneurs, when they deal with business owners, executives, when they deal with people, salespeople, consultants, advisors, they look for four qualities. Mm. The first is integrity. The second is humility. No one wants to deal with someone who's arrogant. The third is dedication. Are you going to be there for me? And the fourth is passion. Of the four, the two that are most important are integrity and passion. That's all a me-to-me conversation. You have to believe in the value of what you do. The me to you is the way in which you manage that interaction. And again, it's pre, during, and post. The better prepared you are, the better a job you're going to do. My friend Bill Whitley says that there are four things that establish credibility more than anything else. What you know about the other person, mm-hmm. the questions you ask, the stories you tell, and then what you're able to create together. And then the you to you is the mind of the buyer. The more you know about their idiosyncrasies, their choices, how they make decisions, the better informed, the easier it is to speak their language. You know this well, Yitzhak, because it's your business. We're often digging two tunnels. I'm saying one thing and you're saying another, and we're having a different conversation. You got to get on the same wavelength. Hmm. That's what the three conversations are about.
Before we ask you for a final thought, how could someone get in touch with you and the Covenant Group?
We have a North America-wide toll-free number, 1-877-903-3878, extension 313 or 314, or tcg@covenantgroup.com or norm@covenantgroup.com, or go to our website, www.covenantgroup.com. And by the way, we have a store on our website that has a lot of the materials that I was just talking about.
Excellent. And your new book, of course, will be
yes,
there.
Yes.
Any final thoughts for our audience?
Entrepreneurs, business owners, executives, salespeople, all of us aspire. We are all driven to become as much as we can be. And at the Covenant Group, our tagline is redefining performance. In order to achieve and sustain performance over time, we have to redefine ourselves. And throughout our lives, as we redefine ourselves, we grow. Businesses don't grow linear, they grow curvilinear. They go through a series of S-curves, and the apex of the peak of each S-curve is a ceiling of complexity. And to break through, we need to redefine. That's where the opportunity lies.
Fascinating. Norm, I cannot thank you enough. We're speaking with Norm Trainor, President and CEO of the Covenant Group. We thank you for sharing some incredible insights. Wishing you great success.
Thank you. It's been a privilege.
Thank you again. You're tuned to 77 WABC. Back in a moment.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back with the Mind Your Business program with Yitzchak Saftless here on 77 WABC. We thank Norm Trainer for taking of his very precious time to join us here in studio for this program this evening. We thank Simeon Friedman for facilitating this relationship. Mr. Trainer is the president and CEO of the Covenant Group, and he had some incredible insight and perspective that could really help anyone get ahead in today's business world. In case you missed it, it will be available on the iTunes channel in a couple of days, and it's really one great interview. Well, as we talked about earlier in the program, thank God after a number of years of intense work, my book will be available very, very soon. It's being released. The official release date is December 10th in Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and in bookstores throughout the world. A little bit about this book. First of all, it's published by Morgan James Publishing. Morgan James Publishing is a renowned publisher that has many titles. In fact, they have many titles on the New York Times bestsellers list. Let's see what happens with this title. But more about the book itself. So the title is So What's the Bottom Line? And the foreword is by the Honorable Bob Turner. It was very kind of Bob Turner to pen this foreword. We had a relationship that began when we did his campaign for Congress in 2011, an upset victory campaign. So we really hit it off, especially with a W on that one. And he was so kind to pen a really incredible foreword. But what is this book about? The book covers a wide array of topics relating to the business world, from marketing initiatives to communication to strategy, customer retention, strategic planning, and everything in between. Each chapter, there's 76 chapters. That sounds like a lot, but each chapter is 2 to 4 pages, bite-sized. That's how people like things these days. It's not long-winded. The book, again, will be available in early December. It's published by Morgan James Publishing. What else can I say? It's interesting. There's a it's coming back into the news now. The story that happened with the miners in Chile a number of years ago, a fascinating story where the world was on edge. We talk about that story from a marketing perspective, and you're probably wondering how. And the answer is, it's in this book. We talk about that. We talk about how a company could deal with a crisis control if there's ever some type of situation where they have to monitor and deal with a crisis management. We talk about the importance of saying thank you. We talk about secrets from great leaders. We talk about lessons we learned from NASA. We talk about the 11 most powerful words to use in marketing. We talk about how to write an excellent headline, great slogans and taglines. We talk about colors in businesses. When should a business use blue? When should they use green? When should they use orange? All this is talked about in this new book, So What's the Bottom Line? 76 proven marketing tips and techniques for building your business and personal brand. Again, produced, published by Morgan James Publishing. The official release date is December 10th. It's, again, a product that I'm so proud of. I also want to make sure to thank my team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, that each one had such a great hand in it, from designing the cover to the inside layout. Well, as we approach the close here on 77 WABC, I thank everyone. I thank Norm Traynor. And tune in again next Sunday evening at 11 p.m. on 77 WABC for Mind Your Business.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.